Like
super upset.
Ooh, dinosaur.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That sort of attention span to just be like, whatever, next. Like, I got this stupid adult brain that just fusses and nitpicks.
The adult beverages are poured. The kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a one-year-old.
My name is Gavin, and I have a one-year-old.
I'm Jeff. I have a six-year-old and a three-year-old.
Gentlemen, another week. Welcome to it. We survived.
Yay!
That's just about the appropriate response.
Yeah. Like, sure. Yeah. Survived.
Yeah, cool. It's like that quiet period between... So Halloween's over. Canadian Thanksgiving already came and went. And it's just the slow and steady march towards Christmas.
Like, oh, we're there.
That daunting holiday in the distance.
Yeah.
Maybe to start it off, Gavin, like I'd like to hear your full update afterwards. But if you could perhaps start in. Last episode, me and Jeff got a chance to talk about Christmas. Which is especially funny to hear Jeff's current situation with two kids that have now kind of become aware. But yourself and the little one, is there any particular angle you're taking? Have you discussed with family not getting her things, or are you planning Christmas outings? Like anything in particular with you and the new family around Christmas?
We usually have a pretty regular gauntlet of travel. We're starting to host a little bit more here. So like, because there's a lot of branches to the family tree, we're trying to get a few of those gatherings like at our place, because frankly I would rather cook than drive.
That's where you and I differ.
Yeah, I'm opposite.
Really? Oh yeah, no, put me in the kitchen, I'll totally baby that bird all day. I don't care. I'll baste it.
The new dad Christmas party is at Gavin's place.
Sounds like it. We'll drive there.
I'll ring the PSVR. It'll be all good.
So no, it's been, last year we ended up doing a little bit more hosting, and that was great, because we have family kind of on like a couple hours out of the city on either side of the city, so to like do that gauntlet is quite a bit. So yeah, it went well last year. We're gonna kind of try to do the same thing this year. As far as like the baby and the gifts and stuff, last year we didn't really do much in regards to like too many guidelines, because we knew nobody would listen anyways. So
pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. But now that it's later on, we're gonna kind of be my wife's already put together a really thorough list of just like, okay, here are some types of toys that we're really thinking for her. And mostly also because we know they're ones that can get put into a toy box, which is really important to us because our apartment's not huge. So we're trying to, you know, suggest to the family and friends and that. It's like, well, if you want to get her something, or if you want to go off list, just make sure it's something small that we can shove in a toy box when the day's done.
You're getting,
you know,
a
bouncy castle. Like, yeah, exactly. Or like one of those little ball pits, or
it fits in a toy box.
Yeah, exactly. When you dismantle it. So yeah, we're just trying to do like those sort of things. But for the most part, I think we're just going to kind of roll with the punches. Something that we've been contemplating doing is like a education saving plan, and get that set up, and also encourage people to contribute towards that.
That sounds so very adult.
We have it. No one's ever contributed.
No.
They're like, no, I want the gift because I want to see their face. I don't want to see your face.
Yeah.
Cash donation isn't any fun. I gotta buy them the creepy clown doll. Come on.
Unless it's, yeah, if it's in addition to, by all means, but
yeah. But honestly, our family's pretty good. They're understanding of the fact that, you know, we don't have a pretty big house or anything like that. And they also understand too that we're really trying to have her engage with toys and stuff, but also making sure that it's stuff that's going to stimulate her properly as far as, you know, brain development and stuff like that. It's not like she's just playing with an abacus. but like it's we're trying to have a good balance for her as well. So but yeah, that's about it for us as far as that goes. I forget.
How's your week otherwise in fatherhood and gaming for that matter? Fatherhood and gaming.
Fatherhood, pretty good. Baby's been a goofball this week, which has been adorable. She's strong as an ox. Like, she's not a very big baby, but like she can move furniture and just like she doesn't care. So for someone her size, like she's pretty good at moving stuff around. Like, definitely a little mighty mouse. Because I came home from work, I think it was last night, and I came home and it was like her toy box was by the front door. And there was like another toy bin over by, like, she just took all the bins out of her room and just dragged them down the hall. And like, she had one that was like filled with clothes, like one of those like square foot cube bins. She dragged it all the way down the hall, then dumped it. And I was just like, okay, like, that's impressive. I'm not even upset about it. That
was really she wasn't cool. Angry or anything. Like,
no, she was like, yeah, she was just
Hulk baby
on a mission to, she wanted the clothes in the living room. And that was that. So, yeah, she's been really, really cute. We had a doctor's appointment yesterday. That went great. Doctor's really happy. So that makes us happy. He took a shot in the arm like a champ, cried it off, back to normal. Way better recovery time than I have. I wish that my body and brain could bounce back like a baby does. Like, it's crazy. They're just so back to normal so fast. Or like I need to dwell on things. Yeah. But as far as gaming goes, I've started into Uncharted 4, which is very, very enjoyable. I think I'm only on the sixth chapter at the moment. Something I'm noticing with the animation, which is amazing. But like during the cutscenes and stuff, things like pillows deforming to the characters' interaction with them and things like that. Like the animation and the physics of soft material. And that I've been finding like really intriguing to watch. Like, it's a little uncanny valley at times because it looks so real. I think that's the problem. This is like, it's really starting to bridge that gap because things are reacting to physical interactions the way that our eyes are expecting them to. Mm-hmm. And like the lighting and everything, just texture wise, it's everything about it is pretty cool. Story wise, I've been really enjoying it too. It's just, it's all around. I really enjoyed the first three games, and this game is, at first I was like, really? You had a trilogy and that was good? But I was like, no, this is great. This is just, give me more. Yeah. This is really cool.
It's a good send off.
Yeah, very, very good send off. So, yeah, that's about it.
Thanks, Petey. Jeff, yourself in fatherhood and gaming?
Fatherhood, we got all our flu shots too. Very different story. 6-year-old and 3-year-old, they know what's happening. And they, like, I myself hate needles. I hate them. I can't stand them, deal with them. I hate it. So my personal hell is standing in a lineup at a local high school to get a flu shot with my family running around crazy. So we did that. It was like the only clinic around here to get one done. So the kids got in, they screamed their heads off for a while. And then the poke wasn't that bad. It's all the work up to it. But they know now, like they're mentally like, they're conjuring up images of, this is gonna hurt, they're gonna take my arm off. What are they injecting into me? Like, what do you mean I'm gonna get sick?
A needle is like this big.
Exactly.
It's gonna stab through your arm.
And you know, the volunteers are working the clinic, like, God bless them, great people, but they move so slowly. It's like, can you not see that I myself have anxiety up the wazoo, and my kids, and you know, just ripping over the Band-Aid a little bit, you know, cotton ball out of like a single jar. It's almost like they had a huge jar of cotton balls and they had to like pick one and just kind of take it out. And like, can you just move faster and get me out of here? Like, just stab me and go, stab. Stab, go. But
oh, it's like, yeah, it's like, especially with kids like that, I think everybody has an impulse when you're waiting in line or something, and it's just like, could you just go,
just do it.
Why aren't you going fast? Yeah. Especially with kids, because like they have no patience and they also have no social awareness. So they could care less about social norms around waiting quietly in a line. So they're just tearing around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
and so it's especially then all your anxiety towards it is just pointed at them like, faster. God, why don't you go faster?
Just go up and down the line and just start poking people in the shoulder. Don't worry about cleaning the wound.
You see these kids. God, look at the kids. Think of the children. Come on.
Yeah, no, very different than we've had it done at the doctor's office. Maybe that's the way to go. We just didn't have an appointment lined up at that time. But yeah, free clinics are just that. They're just free clinics and you pay the price a little bit. But everybody's good. Everybody's fine. Recovery time, like Gavin said, oh my God. It's like we are wiped out the day after. It's like it took its toll on us. And meanwhile, the kids, it's like gave them steroids. They're running around climbing walls and stuff. Like, I'm like, are you sure it wasn't an adrenaline shot and we got the flu shot or something? Like, so it was pretty crazy afterwards. But I also got out the telescope for the supermoon and showed my kids some stars and the moon really
close. Future astronauts, guaranteed.
Yeah, no, they're really into it. So it kind of blows their mind a little bit that they can see so close to it. So even my youngest, the three-year-old, he was just over the moon to see the moon. So it was kind of cool.
Nice.
Trevor joke.
Dad pun, you got it. So proud.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool to see that they're interested in something kind of, I don't know, outside just Lego or, you know, Ninjago or Paw Patrol. So good times there.
Has Paw Patrol gone to space yet?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yes,
they have got to.
They have? I haven't seen it yet.
There was like an astronaut monkey character.
Of course
there is. Lands in the water and then they talk to mission control and they have to try to get the monkey back into space and then one of the dogs accidentally goes up with the monkey or something. I don't know.
Oh, I remember an alien episode. Well, it was just like a very classic green little dude, but they didn't fly out of the space. I'm just expecting the whole moon rescue. Like, oh no, you know, Dribbles is on the moon.
And then sell a Paw Patrol space shuttle. And...
go. It's just ascending to the atmosphere.
Submit that episode there, Trevor.
About how like entirely useless the mayor is.
Everyone.
And basically, every episode, simple things. It's like her chicken is getting carried off by ants. And it's like, this is a problem? Like, just pick your chicken up and wipe the ants off its butt. Fine. Like, how is this an emergency you have to call, like, 911 for? Like, it's just...
Your child labor force.
They work for treats. That's it.
So it's... It's got to be some easy plot to write because it's like, all right, we need to sell some spaceships. How can we get these?
Oh, guaranteed. Guaranteed. Oh, that's what they do.
What's the name of the awful, inept kid that's terrible? He keeps getting in trouble with everything. He doesn't deserve a name. Jerk kid, the tiny kid who keeps like, he's not in Paw Patrol, but he's a tiny kid. He just ruins everything.
Is that Caillou? Somehow. He ruins everything.
So. They are going to do an experiment about sending a message to the moon and Jerk Kid falls into the pot somehow and that gets sent up to the moon and now Paw Patrol has to go up there. There. Done. Guaranteed. It's just like, it's any story is basically they're going to do this and then this kid ruins it and then they have to save this kid. And it's like that kid should be in juvie. That kid should be like under constant supervision. We've never seen his parents, by the way.
Yeah.
It's only ever grandpa. So I don't think he has parents.
But like I compare it to like Looney Tunes, right? I watch Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner all the time. And I don't know why. Maybe I expected a different outcome each time. But it's the same kind of thing. It's like they're going along and then he sets a trap. It doesn't work. And then he gets trapped. Paw Patrol light.
Yeah, something more honest about that, though. Because just like they're not solving a problem. They're trying to overcome an obstacle and failing at it. This is just... In a city of the most inept, unable humans you've ever met, like a series of super dogs has to save them constantly. Like, maybe Paw Patrol is set where it's a prison island where the humanity has sent just the worst humans to live because they couldn't survive a normal society. So there's just these people bumbling around like morons, and they set these like super dogs. They're just like, look, just make sure they don't die. Okay.
Here's a phone. They'll call you from time to time. Just answer it.
Just help him get, just help the chicken from the ants. Like, why does the mayor have a chicken? Just don't look. She used to be a mayor and she turned out to be awful. We sent her to this island. Just save the chicken from the ants and don't ask questions.
I could see it.
So I just, it's like Lost, really. You just have to keep peeling back the layers and complexity of the show. Got it.
Ends poorly.
We'll go into that one. So Adventure Bay is purgatory?
Whoa, spoiler alert. Holy.
Yeah, whoa, come on. I haven't got to last season yet.
It's like 10 years old. Oh. That's fun.
So video games this week?
In terms of gaming, I...
Hold on. Gavin, do you want to take a guess as to what Jeff played this week?
No. Surprise.
Twist. It is a Paw Patrol style twist. You'll never guess.
Just click this link below. No.
Play a Paw Patrol VR?
Oh, God, no. Oh, no. Don't even suggest it. That will come.
That's into ether now. No.
No, I played a game called Abzu, that underwater game.
Oh, I'm jealous. I've been wanting to try that one.
Yeah, I got it on sale a while back. I just played it with actually my two sons. So we kind of sat down. If anybody doesn't know, it's just an underwater kind of diving game. Almost like
in the vein of Flower, is it not?
Yeah, Flower Journey. People, I think, worked on the same one.
Devs' Journey, yeah.
Yeah, so it's quite calming. Like the music's all there. Something about being underwater and the fish reacting to you, and you can control the fish and ride a whale and all that other stuff. It's same kind of ideas. You just go around to each location and you kind of open up new locations and you just go about your way. You can't die or anything, so it's fun to have the kids kind of watch it. They can't really control it though, because like the swimming is great. Like the controls for swimming, but holy, like I'll get motion sickness if they try to do it again. It's just like all over the place. Like they're up, they're down, they're turning around in circles. And I'm like, okay, no, I can't. Let's just, we'll work up to this one. You guys can watch for a bit. Let daddy play. But they love
hand on the unconnected controller. Yeah. You're controlling the fish. Oh, yeah.
You're winning with the fish. But no, really, really cool game. So if you can pick it up, it's almost like a good screensaver. It's just leave it on and have the music and the fish go by. But it's really well done. Nice colors on it and stuff. So it was an interesting one. It was non-Witcher. So let's just put it that way. But that was about it for me.
You know, like the Witcher dives into a lake and it just turns into that game.
Yeah. I'd spend the entire game down there.
Yeah. Too much adventuring with griffins, so you know you have to dive down and just relax a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah. So for myself, we actually ended up taking a trip for work. I had to fly down to Los Angeles, and given some Canadian lousy weather, and I was down there anyways, we decided to have my wife and my son join me the next day after all my meetings and everything were finished. Now the terrifying part about that was like she, to get down, from a logistical standpoint, she would have to take him on by herself to no end. Just because if like the kid flips out and then you're just one parent trying to deal with it, like I wouldn't wish that on anybody. So we did our best to mitigate it. Cause I mean, I really don't need that much to travel with. I travel very light. So I took everything of his that I could. So she's going to have minimal bags. Like I made it so she didn't have to check in anything. Just like one backpack for her. Plus, you know, baby bag to try to distract him.
Yeah.
But fortunately, it all went well. Like he's so far been a very good flyer. I think this is now his fourth or fifth flight that he's taken. So he's done very admirably well. And man, it's tough. I can't imagine what it must be like for a kid. It's like it's just everything they hate, like sitting still, confined spaces,
being quiet. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Being just like not being able to move, like, man, this is everything they hate, that you're just compacting it. Long periods of time. Like that's a 5-hour flight.
I like how your kid is one more in his like year and a half ish than I have in like 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, he's traveled. He's traveled more than my parents ever have. Like it's, yeah, it's funny that we've kind of dragged him around. It's kind of a perfect, well, I'll put it this, so he's still free.
Yeah.
So you can just take him on the plane. That's great. It's awful age for him to be traveling at, because he's old enough for mobility. He's starting to understand things like verbally, just like likes to play with things, but he's not old enough to comprehend anything. Like you can't sit him down and explain something to him or talk something. Yeah. Listen, we just have to be quiet for a little bit because we're landing, you know, like you can't attempt to have some reasonable conversations with them. And I know the kids don't take it, but for instance, let's say Jeff, if you took your 3-year-old on a plane, and he needed to just chill for 20 minutes, do you think you could have a conversation with him?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Do that. But yeah, he might trail off. It's more effort on my part to kind of keep him interested, but yeah, he would talk to me and kind of be distracted that way. But, or I could just say, you know, make a game out of it, or, you know, after 20 minutes, if you don't talk, you get a high five or something. Like it's easy enough to make a game, but yeah, I could totally talk them down. But yeah, with yours, yeah, there's no way. Like they have no clue.
Because if they're small enough, it's just, you know, it's just a baby. It's just this like infant that you're jumping around, you're holding around. If it's if it's older, you can speak to them a little bit. Like there's a little bit of comprehension. And at this point, there's just nothing.
Yeah.
He walks like a man. He does not talk like a man. He does not think like a man. So it's hard to reason with him. But lucked out. It was great. And otherwise, just an excellent trip. And we had a lot of fun kind of traveling around as a family. Not a moment of relaxation.
No.
You know, in trips, there's always like maybe a little part we get to kind of decompress and relax. Like,
no.
Yeah, that's dead now. That's died. That doesn't exist. Until he goes to college, those days will never return. Exactly. But that was great. I don't know. I've generally taken to calling him the little rhino, because he just barges through everything with such reckless disregard for other people's safety, for his safety, for the value of things.
A little juggernaut. Just a little juggernaut.
Basically.
A jugger.
And same thing with Gavin's kid. I mean, it's just like the uncanny strength of these little people. They're able to like push over bookshelves.
Push on your throat.
Oh man, when they start like,
move, does your kid do that move? Or like you're holding them and they don't want it anymore and they just put full force on your Adam's apple?
Oh yeah. He's taken to just like taking both his hands and grabbing my neck skin. Just like, or the when he is getting excited and because he doesn't have ways to express it, he'll just start to like bang in quick succession against something, which at one point was a person's seat in front of us, where it's just like, I don't want to be that guy. Please don't make me that parent.
Too late.
Yeah. My darling little rhinoceros. But no, he's good. So it's been fun, but generally, like, you know, I couldn't have asked for that to have gone better, all things considered. Gaming-wise, much like yourself, Gavin, I've been going through Uncharted. And we'd actually spoken of it the previous week. The murder is still not sitting well with me. Like, it's certainly fun, but it's just so... It feels like, in some ways, at times feels like two different games, where you're watching this jovial, lightweight, happy guy as he transitions through some certain life things, and he's wrestling with some... coming of age, oh, not coming of age story, but like dealing with letting go of a past as he tries to settle into a future life and like with his wife and everything. And then the next moment he's throwing grenades as he like hurdles himself off the side of a building and four guys in the face. And it's just like, I'm not sure I just saw that guy in the cutscene.
Yeah, that's familiar to him though. That's what he holds dear.
Shooting dudes in the face.
It's an automatic response.
It's funny because I think with like a James Bond, like you like he's charming, but it's charming in a wow, this dude could totally kill me type of sense. Like it's that archetype, and this guy is to be so chummy and to be so affable, and then to turn around and be so deadly and like cracking necks. It's not a complaint in the sense I don't like it, because that part of the game is exciting as all heck, and especially like the sneaking part, you're able to like kill four dudes without anyone noticing and shooting. Like it's so much fun. But it's just, Gavin, have you found any dissonance between the character and the action?
Not at the moment, but I'm still relatively early in the game, so I don't think I've gotten to the very, I don't think the violence has crescendoed yet for me. So I think maybe a little bit later I might come across that. But yeah, I agree. Like when you have a character who can be very lighthearted, they're like, even in the previous games, I always found there's a little bit of a disconnect with those two aspects. I think it's also just because of like with Han Solo, for example, like he was the same sort of, you know, crack a joke character. And yes, he would be shooting laser guns at stormtroopers and then they'd trip over their shoelaces and die. But there wasn't that, the interaction between them was a little bit more subtle. Like the violence was a little bit more turned down. So I think the game designer's trying to get the catharsis of the feedback of winning a fight or shooting the bad guy or things like that. Sometimes that might have overshadowed the charm of the character. So then when they get back into just their normal self, yeah, it'd be like if Jeremy Renner was like cracking a whole bunch of jokes in the Hurt Locker, like more so than the people. Yeah. But like it's that same sort of aspect. Like you can tell what Drake is looking for in his life. Like you can tell he has that sort of Hurt Locker syndrome where it's like, this doesn't feel right to me. Like this isn't the life that my body naturally gravitates to, that my soul naturally gravitates to. Like I need the adrenaline, I need the adventure. But like, I don't know, the level of joking around, I think sometimes I could see it clashing with breaking somebody's neck. I don't think there's ever really been, as I said, I'm really early in the game, but I see a lot of longing for him to go back to that sense of adventure and that his globe-trotting ways. But I don't know whether, and I haven't really heard anything about this yet, so maybe I'm wrong, or maybe it doesn't exist. But not much, he has a lot of personal reflection about missing out on new adventures, but not a lot of personal reflection on how many mercenaries he's murdered. And like, I'm cool with him having reflection about having to give up the trade, but like, maybe a little bit of time spent on reflecting on the benefit of like, well, by giving up the trade, I don't have to shoot people in the face with a shotgun. So there's that.
What's the last, I can't remember the numbers. Like what's the last thing that happened in your playthrough? Six. Yeah.
I'm in Italy right now. I'm in a heist mission.
The mansion. In,
like, black market auction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the brother, so right?
Hmm.
Okay, so I don't mind talking. There's one thing the only thing that bothered me about it, and it's all, I'd call it nitpicking, and it doesn't detract from the overall. This is still one of the greatest things I've ever played. Like, I wouldn't call it like my favorite game of all time, but to say that to play this is still to say this is an achievement in gaming. This is unbelievable. So I don't want to phrase anything I'm saying to try to detract from that. But the thing that's bothered me, and I think Gavin already, you'll be able to see that it's coming, is just the very sitcom-esque version of, okay, I'm just not going to tell my wife what I'm actually doing and it'll be fine. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, in what scenario and ever, like, have you never watched Friends? Like, do you not know how this, do you not know clearly how this is going to turn out? Like, it's like, what, you're going to get to the end of the game and like, and she never found out, it worked out great. The end. It's like, just like, yeah, but as soon as it started to come up, I'm just like, dude, she was even like, she was pushing you to go back to it. Just come on, don't lean on this trope. I hate this trope. Just,
yeah. And like, also, if you wind up like dead from this, because like this line of work, there's a lot of bullets. Like, do you really want your wife's last thoughts when she finds out of your demise to be like, oh, that son of a, like, you don't want her to be,
yeah,
like, it's bad enough that she lost her husband, but like to lose her husband in a lie, you know, it's, yeah, I don't know, it's just sort of insult to injury, really. Like, I mean, it's like, bad enough that you're going off to risk your life to try to save. And like, honestly, like, would she not have understood, like, hey, you know that brother I thought died, you know? And I guess this isn't a spoiler. It's like in the first chapter. Yeah, it turns out he's alive. But he might die if we don't do this thing. So I got to try to save his life. So I guess I'm getting back into the game as per your suggestion. But now instead of helping this other guy in Malaysia, I'm helping my brother escape certain death. Do I have to pick anything up from the store on the way home? Like,
milk?
Are you going to need milk or eggs or anything?
Lost loot, buried under the sea? Yeah. No, but I mean, like, yeah, like Family Matters, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Friends, like any sitcom, you could watch like four episodes and I guarantee you'll see one where this plays out and it never, ever has worked out well.
Even sitcoms aside, anybody with a wife knows the pure unquestionable reality that she will eventually know. So don't lie. That's it.
That's a message. That's a message to the kids out there.
Yeah.
That's a message to everybody.
That's a message to the husbands out there.
Yeah. Nathan Drake, don't lie to your wife. Yeah. Especially considering her wife is like an investigative journalist. Like, come on.
Yep.
Of all the wives to lie to, she sees through lives like for a living, like being able to see, oh, that person's got more to tell, they're just hiding something. That's her job. Yeah. That's what she does. It's her vocation, it's her craft. Like, that is her skill trade, and he decides to roll those dice. Like, come on, man.
So that part was slightly disappointing, because as soon as he did it, you know, I'm just like, I knew what was coming up.
Like, he knows everything else. He knows how to solve the mysteries, but he doesn't know relationships.
Yeah.
He's no clue. He's clueless. I suppose.
Yeah, he is. He's always been a little bit like, yeah, he's been a little as
surrounded
as he is at everything else in like all three games. It's like, oh man, you do not know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, put you on the side.
I can kill 10 guys with 20 different weapons, but I can't. No. Can't kill my wife's intuition.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, I'm still going through. I'm probably gonna play some tonight. Like, it is just a man. Some of the scenes I can't wait to talk about next week.
There's Gavin, some great go through some set pieces. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. I won't talk about it. Like, we'll wait till Gavin gets there. But like, oh my god, I can't. It's not. How did they?
Yeah.
Wow. Just it's keep going, Gavin. So we can talk about it, please.
See how far I can get. My week's been kind of totally bonkers with work, but I'll see how many sessions
first I things get first, Gavin.
Before next week.
Yeah. Thief Sandra.
It's like reading a book, do a chapter every night. Report back.
Yeah. The only other thing I played just quick before we wrap up, on the first flight, when I was on my own, I was able to play. I went back to my phone as dipped back into Final Fantasy IX, where I had like the iPhone version of it. The only thing really to note, it's still great. I enjoy it. The only thing to note of it was what's great about revisiting games you've played to death like this is that when you come back in, where classically on a game, if I jumped in, I'd arrive back, especially in RPGs, and I would have said, where the heck am I supposed to go? Like, what was happening in this game? Like, I don't have any idea what's happening or going on. What am I supposed to do? This game, because I've done it, I've played through it a number of times. It was just like, oh, I'm at this part, and then I'm just going to go step two, and step three, and step four. Like, I could pinpoint the exact moment in the game I was in, so I was able to just keep trudging right through it. It's like, oh, right, this. While simultaneously still being surprised and enamored with the same moments that came up, like the first time they ever.
What do you chalk that up to, though? Is it like your memory was better when you were younger, or you had more time? Because I have been struggling with that too, and I remember every moment in Final Fantasy VII, but I've only actually played through it once. But I can recall everything. Same with the Simpsons quote. Like, you give me a Simpsons episode, I can quote anything in that episode. You give me like Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag that I've recently played, I have no clue what I'm doing. I have nobody's name. I don't know. Like, is it because I don't care, or like, I don't know. It's just
apathy. He's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like, whatever, dude. I don't know. What's your name again? I'm supposed to kill you? No? Okay. But those older games, it's like, I knew every, like, heartbeats, like every step, every turn. Maybe it was you had to go through the game, and now they kind of handhold you. I don't know, but it was just interesting that you mentioned that.
Maybe it's because, like, we were so enthralled with it. We were better tuned in. Gavin, I think you just used the word apathy. That might be the perfect word for it, because, like, now it's another game and you're enjoying it, but, like, sure, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah,
but then it was like, that's the game. Like, that's that's the thing you're playing right now.
Yeah.
So, and perhaps that has a better ability to, like, stick in memory. Or it's youth, one or the other.
Yeah. I think it also, like, it happened with film, too. Like, there's certain movies that you watch that just, like, just glue themselves to the back of your eyeballs. And there's, like, just certain set-piece moments and just... But then there's other movies that that were completely enjoyable, but then, like, you're not even home from the theater. And you're like, wait, what did we see?
You know? Who won?
So, yeah, it's but that said, like, you know, I could probably get through most of the script of Ghostbusters on my own. And there's a few other movies in that list, too, that I just watched over and over and over and over again as a kid, you know, like Indiana Jones and whatnot. Where now, like, I think it's a lot harder for a film to really take root in my memory. You know, I think something like Mad Max was one where there was just like, oh yeah, I know what's coming next. And like watching it for a second or third time, it's like, I know it's this, I know this shot, I know this shot's coming. But like, you know, there's other movies where they're a little bit more jumbled in my head, and like, oh wait, no, that's not this movie, that's the other movie. Especially, and this is in no way like a critique on the quality of the films, but the Marvel movies, I sometimes, there's just, because they are so intertwined, sometimes you're like, oh wait, no, that wasn't Civil War, that was Captain America, or was that in the first Avengers or Ultron, or no, maybe that was a Guardians of the Galaxy reference. When did that happen?
They all blur together now. I couldn't tell you.
It's become, was that, like, in the Galaxy of Ultron? I just don't.
Yeah. Is there a raccoon in there? What are we talking about?
Yeah, what's happening? So
did Captain America fight a raccoon? I can't.
No. So
the Winter Soldier, is the Winter Soldier a tree? I just can't seem to remember.
It's a type of spruce.
Oh, so yeah, chalk it up, by the way, but it's despite all that, like, you still come into moments that even if you know the moment is coming, to relive it is still fantastic.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to be in it. And in some ways too, and having that little bit of expectation, like, oh boy, here it comes.
I get still get that feeling every time watching Aliens. And like, Ripley comes into the into the hangar with the power loader.
Yeah.
Right before that line. Yeah. Just like, I get that same sense of anticipation. Yeah. Like, oh, here it comes.
It's my go-to movie too. Whenever I'm in the mood for a movie and I don't know what to watch, I'll be like, nah, I'll put on Alien or Aliens.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
I've watched it 100 times.
It's so good though. I love it. Set design. Anyway, All of it.
Yeah. Dan O'Bannon.
Love it.
All right, gents. So I think we'll swiftly move on to our beer picks of the week. Gavin? As he takes his final sip.
It up. Hold
he's
on.
Judging. Sorry, he's just, judging. He's judging.
Okay, so my beer pick was actually inspired by playing some Uncharted. The heist scene in Italy at the black market auction thing took place in an area of Italy that, at least from what it looked like, that was a place that I've actually had the pleasure of visiting, which is Monterosso, which is the northernmost area of the Cinque Terre region. I got to spend some time in Italy back in college. I did about 6 weeks. So one weekend, I was still in Florence and kind of getting tired of my roommates, and I just wanted to bugger off somewhere. So I checked with one of the faculty members about just like any recommendations. And they recommended this area. And so I grabbed a train ticket and just took the long weekend and left the rest of of the students and just went off on my own.
Kind of like Nathan Drake, you had
a little bit. Yeah.
Get up on top of the train shooting guys and then like swinging off.
Shotgun blast. So yeah, I went off to this one place for a weekend, and it was amazing. It's what's great about this area is like you go to the northernmost area and you can take like a hiking trail, and the hiking trail runs down this nice rocky coast and connects all these little villages. And there's five of them. So Cinque Terre means five lands. What's also interesting too is there's a lot of old World War II relics, like old like pillboxes, machine gun nests, and stuff. So those are really interesting to see. And like there was one that I saw that the entire inside of it, you could tell it had been sort of commandeered by gypsies. So there was like some bed rolls and stuff. So I poked my head and I'm like, I think somebody lives here. And I left. anyway, so yeah, seeing there was like while you're trying to get into this one villa in that heist scene when you're still like in your overalls, the coast that you're overlooking, you kind of see a little village down on the side. That just seeing that, I'm like, oh wow, that looks so much like this area I visited, and it brought back a lot of fond memories. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna pick up some Birra Moretti, which is the beer that I drank a lot of while in Italy. And what I love to, I'm gonna try to get it to the camera here, and I could So the dude on it, he's like just blowing the foam off the beer. Like it's just such a great, like, I'm an old guy, I'm gonna have myself a nice beer and blow the foam off the top because I don't want that stuff on my mustache. yeah, it's a good beer. Like it's a really nice, just sort of clean, crisp, refreshing beer, which is like, it's really enjoyable to have, especially when, like, one of my staple lunches back then was I'd get a can of tuna in olive oil, which is the best way to have canned tuna. Canned tuna on water, get rid of that stuff, get the olive oil stuff, that's the way to go. And I'd get a nice hunk of crusty bread, and I just eat the tuna with the bread, and I use the bread to sop up the olive oil, which is infused with the tuna. I know it sounds horrible, but when you're
I wasn't let you finish what Jeff said. That sounds
when you're an art student traveling abroad, that is one of the most economic ways to eat. So you find the silver lining and enjoy it. And the other silver lining was the 68-cent beer that was sitting next to me. And yeah, like what was great too is over there, like the drinking laws are very relaxed. I think the only rule I saw the entire time I was there was in Rome, and they don't care if you drink in public, just no glass bottles because of the riots. So they're like, yeah, it's fine, just no glass, because if people get upset, then somebody gets a bottle in the head. So yeah, there was times where it's like I'd be sitting and enjoying my lunch, and don't worry, it wasn't always tuna. Usually it was like this, like a mix of like antipasti and stuff like that. But yeah, usually I would have like a collection. I'd have like a protein of some kind, like a salami or a tuna or cheese or something like that, and then like a nice hunk of really good crusty bread, And I'd have like a nice can of beer or a bottle of beer, depending on where I was, what city I was in. And I just sit there in the warm afternoon sun and enjoy it and take a sip of beer, wave at a police officer, take another sip of beer. So just when I saw that coastline, I'm like, I gotta get that beer. And then when I cracked it open tonight and smelled the aroma of it, I'm like, oh wow, yeah, it's like, it's even unique enough to trigger some of those memories in my head. So yeah,
nice.
Playing Uncharted made me about my travels in my younger days and made me want to drink a beer that I enjoyed a lot while I was there. So
the most elaborate beer commercial ever in the form of an $80 game.
And actually, that's the first incredible. Time I've ever seen it in a tall boy.
Which, yeah.
Canadian for big can.
Yeah, well said. Jeff, top that.
Okay.
I got Keith's and
nope. Mine's after a dance.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Now, being a dad and realizing that you're not up to snuff on a lot of the new dances. This one's called Dab.
Oh.
Dab. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That's one of the go-tos, Jeff.
Yeah. Do you know what dabbing is, though?
I know what dabbing is.
Dabbing. So my six-year-old comes home from school.
Oh, no. No.
And he's like,
no.
Dad, I'm going to dab. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? As he does the dab. He does the dab. I'm like, okay, I accept this. Dab away. So then we're in the grocery store, and he helps me pick out the beer of the week because he likes looking at the pictures. And he's like, now he can read. Oh. He picks out Dab, which the beer.
Oh my God.
Good pick. I like this one. This one's good. Crisp, clean. And yeah. I'll dance to it. This is a dancing beer right here in Dab. I like it.
Oh. That's one of my, honestly, that's one of the ones I get quite frequently.
Yeah, and, no, it's a good one.
I think I ended up like, it became a bit of a household phrase for a while, or a dab will do you.
See, you're perfect.
Jeez.
So, incorporating, no, it's a good, clean, refreshing, yeah, German beer. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's good. And it's also, yeah, very reasonably priced. And it's
pretty
just,
cheap. Yeah,
but yeah, for a can, it's great. But it's, yeah, it's a good beer. It's just like, yeah, I want a beer. And I just want it to taste like beer.
Yeah, just a stable beer. That's my,
good. Yeah,
that's my jam.
I'm happy that you that you enjoyed it, because every so often I drink it and I'm like, does anybody else drink this?
Someone must. Has this been sitting here for 5 years?
Yeah, no, it's good. I'm on board.
Nice.
Man, I can't believe he does the dab. Six-year-old. Jeez. That's all I ever saw. A couple of Jays games that I went to, that's all I saw on the Jumbotron.
Was dabbing.
Just like 10 minutes of kids doing dabs, like one after the other. It's just like, geez, that's 6 year old. They must love the fact that that's a trend, that company. I'm like, yes, it's happening. Another
moment. Because it's a German company, so maybe it hasn't made it across.
They have no clue. They're
like, what?
Somebody call them. This is the opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah.
This is the moment for this to become popular.
Tap into that Western market.
And the,
I just want to see a bunch of like stuffy like German brewers do the dance. I think that would be like in a commercial. That'd be great
in the brewery.
The misunderstanding at first is like, what is this? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
How do you mean dance of our beer? That's our beer.
It's not really a dance. It's like a move.
I like how Trevor kind of alluded. Is like, how do you explain dance to like a German brewer? Which honestly is pretty easy if you think of Oktoberfest.
Instead of sitting round and round, you just throw your arms up and look the fool.
Like, yeah.
Da, da.
It's such a weird move too. It's such a bizarre move. It's one of those moves I'm like, all right, kids, you have fun with that. I'm just gonna be over here and be old.
Stick to the beer, thanks.
Yeah.
I've chosen my dab. A dab will do you, he says. So I should have gone first.
Stop that.
My story is nowhere near as romantic to either of those ones. and I think I might have referenced this one before. I swear I had it at the local craft place, but very few times have I had a beer and said, okay, I need to have a second beer of this one because it was so tasty. And it's not a combination of being like easy drinking, approachable, and then like just incredibly tasty. So not in the sense that this is now the tastiest beer I've ever had or the one that I'm now going to switch to completely, but just something about it hit every note perfectly that after I had one, it's like, I now have to drink another. Like I'm not going to be stopping here. This needs to be more of it. So it's from Kona Brewery and it's Big Wave Golden Ale.
Okay.
Now the golden ale part, I swear that it's one of the ones that I had at a craft brewery and mentioned on a previous show, but yeah, just like one that had one, two the one night and two the next night. And just, it's, you know, one had to follow the other one. And which is just it was bizarre to me, like how much impulse I had to have the second one. Which generally it's like a beer, enjoy it and tap it off. But the thing too, so I bought a couple of their other ones. They were all great. So out of the three beers that I tried for the brewery while I was there, all three were just excellent. So to the point of which I'd say anything from Kona Brewing Co., you're going to likely be in good shape.
Hmm.
So Kona Brewing Co., Big Wave Golden Ale. So it's, I don't know if it's, so we're in LA, so like it's that much closer to it. I don't know if like the freshness, the relative freshness of it on that coast as opposed to this coast.
Yeah.
Plays part
this
like maybe
coast. Yeah.
Yeah. So by the time you get over to this side, maybe it's like garbage. So I'll have to see if I can find it and test it. But man, that was, it was delicious. And nothing particular note. Like it's not crazy like banana and cloves or, super distinguished like a Guinness. It was just,
it was there.
Solid, tasty beer, man. I was really happy with it. And there's a dance named after it, the Big Wave. Just like, and all the kids are doing it. So I was playing this game, and I was Nathan Drake on Waves, and I said to myself, "Welp,
I feel like I need to try to like usher in a dance move of just an old man blowing foam off a beer."
Yeah, I see that. It's like it's a head bob. You got the hand motion, like it's
yeah.
You got pursed your lips, I guess, like a blowing motion.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop you there, Trevor.
Did I just kill it? Did I kill it before it started?
See, when you're talking about hand motions and pursing your lips,
go on.
I'm gonna stop. I'm listening. There.
Okay, I'm not sure I understand. I don't know if you elaborate a little bit more.
Well, let's just say you're dancing with a shake weight.
That's a wonderful exercise tool. I'm not sure I follow the line of thinking.
Need the scripted video.
Oh, excellent. Everybody, that will do it for us this week. You've been listening to New Dad Gaming. We do this podcast weekly. You can find us on iTunes and Google Play and any other podcasting service. If you have any ideas, show suggestions, or questions for us, you can reach us at our website, newdadgaming.com. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook. Yeah. Drink beer, be parents, play video games. So I started with the part that I usually end at, and I got to that part and was like, oh, nuts. Where am I going to go? Mid-sentence, I was thinking about, I don't know how to wrap that up.
No, that's good.
So rate, subscribe, like, share it with a friend, preferably a new dad who games and ends podcasts gracefully.
No. Every week is a new ending, so put it that way. Great.
I would write it down, but then what's...
Trevor. They're like snowflakes.
I've read it down, but where's the fun in that? You understand, like there's a small bit of terror. Like every time we approach the end, as I launch up into it, I'm like, all right, like I've said it a bunch. I should be able to get this. And then this time, like I started with the wrong part. I'm like, oh, nuts. Like it's over before it started. Oh, dab will do you. Thanks so much, everybody. Until next week, my name is Trevor and I have a 1-year-old.
My name is Gavin, and I have a 1-year-old.
I'm Jeff, and I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old.
And a bye, dad. Everybody.
See ya.
And a what?
Bye.
And a dad. And a dad.